Well, welcome back, everyone. We are live. And in today's show, I'm going to tell you how to literally save thousands of dollars in your current homeowner's insurance. And did you know that the state of Florida is giving you up to $10,000 to make improvements to your house when it comes to like wind mitigation and stuff like that, whether it be a new roof, hurricane windows, better hurricane straps, all those things like that. I'm going to bring that to you today. And then I'm also going to share a couple of stories. You know, that's what I like to do. Of some real estate transactions that I've recently been a part of where insurance almost blew up the deal. And if you're a cash buyer, you need to pay attention because there is one thing that could really, really screw you over if you don't know it. So we're gonna break all that stuff down today. But first, you know, we're talking homeowners insurance. I am not an insurance agent. My name is Matt Light. I am a top producing realtor here in the Sarasota, Florida area. And now I've got a small micro team. And we are one of the top rated. We are in the top 25 in the country, actually, with our brokerage, Real Broker. So pretty incredible award that we've been getting pretty regularly and consistently every quarter. I mean, super blessed with the team that I've got right now. So, let's chat about some insurance things. How do we get here? You're jumping on. If you're local, you're like me. You've seen your price and your insurance premiums go crazy high, and they just keep going up and up and up, just like everything else in life right now, like the cost of eggs at a grocery store. Man, those cage-free eggs. That is something else. That is not cheap. Kind of like our homeowners insurance. But how we got here was, I think you got to go back to 2017 and Hurricane Irma when that had come through. Apparently what happened was there was a lot of roofers that would go out and after the hurricane came through and said, hey, you know, we can get you a new roof on your house. And a homeowner's like, I don't really have a problem with my roof. You're like, do I? Like, you're the roofer. And the roofer would basically say, I can make it, you know, essentially where it looks like you need a new roof from the storm. So because you have hurricane insurance, the storm, and then the insurance is going to cover it. So it doesn't cost you anything. So the roofer's going to make money. It doesn't cost you anything, and it costs the insurance everything. So I asked one of my friends who's in the insurance industry. He's been in it, I think, since 2008. I said, well, why did you guys do it? Like, why did all the carriers just pay out? He said, Matt, it was so much more money to lawyer up and fight each individual homeowner that it was just cheaper just to give them a new roof. It was just cheaper to do that. And so in return, we've seen prices go up from that insurance fraud. Hurricane Ian comes through, a lot of flood damage, things like that. People didn't have flood insurance. So then you started getting all of this clickbait things out there where Florida is mandating flood insurance if you want to buy a house in Florida. And that was just simply not true. You had even, you know, realtors in my own field, they were making all these clickbait things, right? Because you just want to get clicks and all this stuff like that. And, you know, Florida's mandating flood insurance. And at the end of the day, not really. So you have this Florida-backed, you know, carrier called Citizens. And so if you couldn't get insurance through another third party, Citizens was going to insure the property. And so Citizens didn't want to get every property. They don't want to insure every house in the state of Florida. That's not good business, right? Because then if you do have a storm and you have to pay out, you can't afford to do it. You got to diversify a little bit. And so a lot of carriers after Hurricane Ian came through, they had left the state. And so Citizens, they're sitting here taking all these policies and they're going, well, whoa, I don't want to go with Citizens. And even, I don't think it was my house specifically, but newer homes, it was cheaper to have Citizens than to go with another party. So everybody was just switching their carriers over to Citizens. Citizens was like, whoa, timeout. Fine. If you want to come to us, then we will just mandate that you have flood insurance. And so they did that probably strategically to push people away. So that way they would go to other carriers. So was it mandated? Yeah. If you went to that carrier, if you wanted to use a Citizens policy, then they mandated flood insurance. You could still go anywhere else that you wanted to go. You still had other carriers that you could choose. So in terms of all the clickbait and all that stuff like that, it's only partially true because you know, is only for citizens. So, you know, that was kind of the truth with that. But I want to pull up on the screen. Those of you listening to the car, I will explain this because I know you're not watching the video, and that's okay, over here on YouTube. So this was a recent article that just that recently came out this year, and it talks about how there are 7 new home insurance carriers that have come back to the state of Florida. And I think that's only a good thing when you have more companies, you know, supply and demand. There's a pretty high demand for insurance. Obviously, if you are getting a loan, you have to have insurance. So the more options there are out there, the more that you can shop, hopefully the better rate or the better premium that you can get. So I really like that. You know, in my personal insurance, it's kind of gone up. I think when we bought in 2019, we built a new house. We paid $600 a year. I know, what a time to be alive, right? 2019, $600 a year for insurance. It was incredible. Now I think we're up to like $1,500 a year, I think. I mean, don't quote me on that, but you're not going to see my policy, so you're never really going to know, are you? But I think we're at like $1,500 a year. Our house is built in 2019. All right, so moving on. I know I said at the beginning of this episode that I was going to tell you how to get up to $10,000 for your home for some improvements from the state of Florida. And you know what? I thought, what better person to bring on than an expert herself. Her name is Julia Dees. She is a local insurance agent here in Sarasota. She owns D's Insurance. So Julia, thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to join the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Matt.
You know, you are actually the first guest that I have ever had on this. Granted, we've only been doing this for like 5 weeks, so it's not a big sample pool, but yeah, you only get one first. And so It just so happens that I get to have you back. This is great.
I love it.
So I'm going to kind of rapid fire, because I like to keep all of my episodes pretty beneficial, pretty short, to the point. The first is, I just kind of went over my audience. Let me put this on the screen with us, of how 7 new carriers just came back into the market. What does that mean? And so my first question is, if somebody's paying $2,000 a year in insurance premium, could this mean that they could pay less money next year?
I think anything's possible. However, I think what the hope in the insurance market is right now is we get some stabilization. So what we've seen is significant jumps in premium over the last few years. And so what we're looking for with these new carriers coming into the market, not only is it to take out some of that Citizens book to kind of reduce that amount, but also to provide that stabilization. I mean, previous to all of this stuff happening, we were looking at traditionally a 3% inflationary rate increase year over year. So premiums don't typically go down because things cost more usually with inflation every year. So we're hoping that we are going to start to see some stability where rates aren't increasing as much, and hopefully start to level off to get back to what it used to be.
So like right here at the very beginning, it talks about in 2023, a homeowner saw an average 42% increase on their rate, and you know, coming from a 33% from the year before. So you would expect with these new carriers coming to the market where, no, it's not going to decrease, but you're not going to see a 30% jump. You're going to see it certainly level off, kind of like what we've seen in the real estate, like with home prices and other things like that. We've seen everything kind of go like this, and now everything is kind of, I don't know if you want to say normal or not, but just Leveling itself off, balancing itself out.
Yeah, I mean, yes, those are the numbers. I mean, over the last three years, it's been an increase of 102%. Last year was the biggest. They still expect a double-digit increase this year, is what the insurance experts are saying. However, not as bad as last year. So somewhere, you know, under that 42, some experts say it was 45 last year. But again, whether or not that's going to be 10%, it's yet to be seen. Obviously, we're a couple of months into this year already. We've seen rates gone up, and we've seen rates kind of stay the same or not gone up as much. So we've kind of seen it all over the spectrum, whereas last year it just always went up. So I do think that that's progress.
Okay. I mean, I understand that. That makes sense. So now I want to get into what a lot of people are waiting for. And that's talking about this program that I'm going to pull up the article. Let me do that, guys. Here it is. So for those of you listening in your cars right now, I know there's a lot of you. This is the MySafe Florida Home Grant Program. That is a mouthful to say. So basically, I think it's like if you spend a dollar, the state gives you $2 up to $10,000 or something like that. When did this program come out, Julia? And explain to us, what is this?
Sure. Well, the program originally came out in 2006. And during special session, basically, the governor called and said, we got to get a handle on what's happening in Florida with the rates. This was back in 2022. That's when they kind of like reintroduced the program. So this version of the program, what we're talking about today, has been since special session in 2022. When that initially came into play, they allocated $115 million to the program, and which sounds great. However, so many applications came in, so many people really wanted this. And when you ask about what it is, it's like you said, the government gives you $2 for every $1 you spend, up to $10,000. And the goal with it is you're doing an improvement to the home that helps mitigate the risk for wind damage. We're talking about these storms. That's what we're looking to do. We're trying to get those homes up to that next level code. So this isn't going to apply to these brand new homes because they're already there. They're already receiving that max discount. The state basically comes in, has an inspector do a wind mitigation inspection, and they look at where are areas that you can improve this home to basically mitigate that risk more. Here's what's going to cost. You have to go through the approved vendors to do it. Then you put in your application and kind of go down that process. But as of June last year, in June 2023, they actually added an additional $100 million to the program, making it a total of $215 million. But then that ran out in October. So during regular session this year, they actually have decided to fund this again with another $200 million. So we're looking at over $400 million in total over the past year and a half, 2 years.
So with that, and you know, talking about new homes, so like my home was built in 2019. Mm-hmm. I don't have hurricane windows.
Sure.
Mine's a newer home. And let's say it's a new home that was built this year in 2024. And they don't have hurricane windows. Could they go into this program and say, oh, I want to apply? And they come back and say, yeah, you can improve your home by adding hurricane windows. Yeah, we're only going to give you 10 grand towards them, sure, but you can do that. Would that be allowed?
So there's some stipulations with it. You have to have a building permit from 2008 and before that. So your 2019 home is not going to apply. The other thing is you have to be homestead in order for it to apply. And then as far as the dwelling coverage goes, you have to have a max, or you can only have a max dwelling coverage of $700,000. Now that's a lot. Now remember, when we talk about dwelling coverage, we're not talking about market value, what you bought the house, what it's worth today, the land value. We're talking about the cost to replace the home completely. That's that number that we're looking for, is $700,000 or below. And with the resurgence of this program and this new funding after this last legislative session, they decided to, and I think that article that you had pulled up kind of indicated this, that it was going to benefit some of the seniors and some lower income. And what that really does is it's giving them an earlier window to access this new, these new funds than everybody else. So it goes in 15-day increments. And basically, if you're low income, 60 and up, you get the first chance at this money, and then it for 15 days. And then after that, it's low income of any age for 15 days. And then it opens up to medium income, 60 and up, and then it opens up to medium income, anybody. And then it opens up to everybody at that point. But again, hitting those criteria that you have to on regarding the actual home itself.
Okay. So you're looking at homes from 2008 and older. Is there a limit of how old can a house be? Or if I, you know, had a house built in 1960, is that eligible?
Yep, it's eligible. I don't know. There's nothing I've seen that says that there was a stopping point on the age, but certainly 1950s, 1960s. I mean, these are all homes that are very, very common, and especially in Florida. I mean, there was a big surge of Florida real estate back in that time. So there's tons of homes that meet that criteria. And so this is amazing that there's that they've invested additional funds to it, because there's a lot of Floridians that have a dwelling coverage under 700,000 that are homes built before 2008 and really could qualify and benefit from the program.
That makes sense. Well, thank you for taking the time to join us today and bring that knowledge to us. What I'm going to do for everybody, in the show notes, I'll put Julia's contact information for her, her insurance agency. And then I'm also going to put a link of how do you apply to this. So I'm going to do that in the show notes. But Julia, thank you for popping on and joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me on as your first guest.
Of course. Thank you so much. I'm sure I'll have you again. Well, that was Julia. Pretty incredible. She is a wealth of knowledge, and I love how she's very straightforward, straight to the point. So I love that aspect of it. But we're going to continue in today's show by me sharing a couple stories for you about what has happened in a couple of real transactions. And again, if you're a cash buyer, pay attention. You don't want to miss this because there is a huge flaw in Florida contracts that does not protect you at all when it comes to insurance and other things like that. So the first one I want to share is I had a client that they were looking at waterfront property. So their kind of stipulation, this is probably about a year ago, and they were looking for something around $3 million. And he was a boater. They wanted to have a boat in their backyard and be able to get through one of the passes to go deep sea fishing, you know, without needing to go through 20, 30, 40 minutes of no wake zones and other things like that. So, you know, you've got to be out near Longboat Key, maybe Anna Maria, maybe kind of up in that quadrant. And we were going to go look at a property on Longboat Key. Now, it was a little bit older home, so it wasn't a brand new house built to current code standards, all that stuff like that. And what had happened was before we got to see it, I had them, you know, they reached out to insurance agent to find out, hey, with this address, obviously we don't have a wind mitigation, things like that. But what are we looking at, an estimate? Like, what could this be? Give us like what the worst case scenario is. And they had said, I think it was, did I have it in my notes? No. So they said like insurance was going to be like $40,000. And then flood insurance was going to be another 30 grand. And that doesn't even include taxes, which were going to be around like 25 or 30 grand. So they were looking at almost $100,000 between taxes, insurance, flood insurance. And that doesn't even include like utilities and living costs and things like that, let alone if they had a mortgage. You know, if they were going to pay cash, it was still going to cost them over six figures just to call this thing home. And they didn't like that. So they went and they bought a boat instead, and they're going to live on a yacht. So I guess you can just move that wherever you want. If there's storms coming, you just drive it somewhere else. And then another transaction, recent transaction, was an older home built in the early 90s, which is weird to say older home. But regardless, you know, built in the early 90s. And the seller, he was saying, I just renewed my insurance policy. I'm paying $1,500 a year. So that's what you guys are going to pay. Don't listen to sellers, guys. It doesn't mean anything at all. Just because he's paying that, you can't just transfer insurance policies. It's going to be a new policy for the new owner when all the things. And so the new policy is going to have a wind mitigation and all the other, you know, proponents to it. So we reached out, had a quote, $6,000 in insurance. And the seller was like, that's ridiculous. Well, you're not an insurance agent, Mr. Seller. You don't get to say that's ridiculous. Like, this is what it's going to be for any new owner buying your house. And why yours is still at $1,500, I don't know. I'm not an insurance carrier. I don't know how the back end of their systems work and things like that. Maybe yours just slipped through the cracks. So just consider it a blessing rather than something else. I think we found another carrier. We landed something around $3,000. But again, I say this because it does not matter what a seller says, because you're going to get a new policy issued. So if you're going into a transaction, you kind of want to maybe know how quick you can get a policy, quote back to you. But if you're a cash buyer, you need to beware of this, because if you go into a contract and you're past your inspection period, and let's say you get an insurance quote that you don't like, you can't terminate the contract. Or let's say you can't get insurance on the property, you still can't cancel. So what are you going to do? You're going to walk away from your earnest money deposit? What's your realtor going to do? There's a big uh-oh. I had this years ago, like well before all this insurance craziness. And it was in like a condo community or like a villa community down in Venice on the water. And they were redoing the roofs and all of the units. And I had a cash buyer and we were under contract. So again, there's no get out of jail free card when you're a cash buyer. And we couldn't get a policy on this villa, and the policies were issued through the association. So I got the attorneys involved and I was like, listen, what do you mean we can't get a policy? Every other unit in here is insured, but no insurancy would insure us. And so that flipped the trigger in my head of, okay, great. Anytime you have a cash buyer that you're working with, I will always put in what's called an insurance addendum. Basically, what that says is if you cannot get insurance, you can get out of the contract. The day before closing doesn't, like, you can get out of the contract and get your deposit back. Also, it puts in there if insurance is a certain price. And so again, even if you're doing financing, you have to have insurance. The lender's not going to give you money if you can't get insurance on it. But what if you don't like it? What if it's a $5,000 policy? And sure, the lender says that's fine. Like, we are still going to approve you, but you don't want to pay that. You would pick a different house. Well, your realtor, hopefully it's me and my team, we would be putting in an insurance addendum. So what that is going to say is that if the price of that insurance premium is a certain dollar amount, then you have the right to terminate the contract, is what it's going to say. So we keep the power. I think when you're in the middle of a transaction, it's all about leverage and how do you maintain leverage throughout the transaction. And so if you can maintain it like this, a lot of sellers, they're probably going to accept these insurance addendums because one, the seller in that previous example, oh, you're going to get a $1,500 policy. He wouldn't care to sign this because he, in his mind, thinks, well, the new owner is going to get $1,500. So like, sure, like, I'm so confident that I'll just sign this no problem whatsoever. And then he'll be shocked when he gets a quote back at $6,000. So I think that adding an insurance addendum is super critical, regardless if you're cash or if you're financing and you're purchasing a resale. Now, if you're buying a new construction house, you don't really need to worry about that. I think insurance carriers would love to insure a new construction house because everything's up to code. The storm drains are there, all the other fun stuff like that. It's probably the easiest thing for them to insure. It's kind of a layup. But obviously, your realtor, who your realtor is super critical in transactions like this. And if you're a local here in the Sarasota, Manatee County area and selling a home, a knowledgeable realtor, they're going to be able to help you avoid things in a transaction, like when they get a buyer. They're going to know if they're qualified. They're going to know some of these insurance questions. Like if I was going to go take a listing on an older house, one of the first things I'm doing before I waste my time and money doing all these crazy videos and marketing on this house is I'm going to call the insurance and say, hey, Julia, what would this house cost? Do they have a wind mitigation? Do they have these things? That's a good question. If they do, what a great thing that I can provide to the future buyer. And they don't need to pay $100 to get it. I can give it to them. And now we can get a quote for them so we can keep the transaction moving. So there's a lot of things that a listing agent, they should be doing on the front end so you can have a smooth transaction towards closing. And again, if you're a buyer, you want to work with a realtor that can keep the leverage in your power. That's like the whole name of the game when it comes to negotiating and other things like that. Like, that's what I love about this so much. I've got some great stories of transactions I've been in that I'm sure I'm going to share with you throughout this podcast and in future weeks. But you know, you need to be working with the right people. You've got to have the right realtor working with you. And in my team, we are incredible. We have a perfect 5-star reviews. We've helped over 200 families call Sarasota home. It's just incredible when you think about that. And you know, we're not some 20 or 30 agent team. Like, there's just a few of us. So we're very much a micro team. So transactions are very personal. We value them. We handle them with care and diligence. And so, you know, we'd love to be your real estate resource of choice. I'm going to put my contact information right up on the screen right now for you. There it is. Look at that. You can email me at info@mattlight.com or you can call or text 941-256-3321. Again, that's 941-256-3321 because we would love to be a resource of choice for you. So we got my first guest out of the way. Let me know what you guys thought about that. I'm hoping to maybe bring on some future guests here locally, here not locally, and all that stuff just to bring some more value to you guys. So thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing to this podcast, sharing it with your friends, and we will see you back here next week.